So have you guys ever seen those posters that start with things like, everything I need to know about life, right? Everything I need to know about life I learned in kindergarten. Everything I need to know about life I learned from playing golf. Everything I need to know about life I learned from my cat. Right. They're all saying the same thing, basically. They're talking about finding wisdom in what's usual. So in 1998, when I was 13 years old, my father got us tickets to Red Sox opening day at Fenway Park. And this is a really big deal in Boston because it's the first day of spring. Psychologically, it's the first day of spring is opening day, even though it's April and it's usually like 40 degrees. It was also a really big deal to me because I am and have been since I was 1 year old and my father woke me up to watch the Red Sox win the World Series in 1986, which they didn't. But since then, I have been a diehard Red Sox fan. And so it was a big deal to have tickets to opening day. Here was the catch, though. Red Sox opening day was also on Passover. And we had to go to Seder at my great uncle Norman's house. So we could go to the game, but we knew that from the moment we got there, we had to leave, you know, in time to get to Seder, even if the game wasn't over. We end up leaving in, I want to say, about the seventh inning. At that point, the Red Sox are losing to the Seattle Mariners 7-0. So we get in the car and I'm trying to put on the radio and I'm like, Dad, the game is over. They're losing 7-0. Like, this is a lost cause. Let's just listen to music. And my father says, you can't ever leave a game before it's over. And so we're driving, the two of us alone, listening to the Red Sox game in silence. So the score goes from 7-0 to 7-1 to 7-3. And at that point, the bases are loaded. And up to the plate comes Mo Vaughn. He was a monstrosity whale of a man. He was like a heaving, sweating, like huge specimen of a baseball player. So Mo Vaughn gets up with the bases loaded, and of course, Mo Vaughn hits the first pitch that's thrown to him, walk-off, game-winning grand slam. And my father and I listened to it in the car. There's a Passover tradition that you put a glass of wine on the Seder table. And the purpose of leaving the glass of wine is that it's for Elijah, who's a prophet, who symbolically is supposed to come in the door at some point, and he drinks the wine. So you leave out a glass for Elijah. The idea is it's for someone who's there in spirit and not in body. So from now on, every time my father and I get tickets to opening day on Passover, they leave 3 glasses of wine on the table, one for Elijah, one for me, and one for my father, because we will never leave a game early again. So that was the second opening day that I went to. The first opening day that I went to was actually years earlier. And that day, about halfway through the game, the batter hits a towering home run that bounces in front of me and that I managed to catch. My hand is stinging, my palm is stinging from the ball. My father, though, turns to me, who of course is sitting next to me, and says, you know you can't keep that. What do you mean I can't keep that? That's my souvenir. That's the most priceless thing I'm ever gonna have in my life. That's my prize from this game. He says, you can't keep that. Because it wasn't hit by the Red Sox. And there is a principle in baseball, if you are a baseball fan, you know, that if the other team hits a home run and you catch it, you throw it back. So my father tells like 9-year-old me that I can't keep the home run ball that I hit. It's a principle, it's the most somber, serious thing. Now, you know, skipping Seder, that's a principle that you can break, but keeping the opposing team home run ball, absolutely not. So I look at the ball in my hand, and of course I do what my father says, and I throw it back onto the field from where it came. And of course the reason you have to do that is because it's poisonous, it's tainted, it's ill-gotten gains. After that day, we didn't sit in the bleachers very much. We normally would buy tickets to sit along the first baseline because the prospect of having to throw away more home run balls was just too much. So Fenway Park has an upper deck, but there are columns in the stadium that hold up the upper deck. What that means is there are seats behind the columns, and you could buy what's called an obstructed view ticket for like 10 bucks and get a seat behind a pole. So that's what my dad and I used to do. Of course, we wouldn't sit there. We would buy the tickets and we would promptly sneak down to the front row and just pretend like we belonged there. And so always when we went to games, there were 2 games going on simultaneously. There was the game on the field, and there was also this cat and mouse game that my father and I would play with the ushers at Fenway Park because they recognized us. We were like con men of Fenway. We would come in, we would act like we had seats like next to the dugout, which of course we didn't. And then as soon as they found us, they would throw us out to go sit somewhere else and they would play this game with us. But what was great about this was that my father always had a plan B. He's always kind of scanning the layout, right? No matter what happened, every time we got thrown out, my father always had a plan B. So if it's the first pitch thrown to move on that Passover opening day, or if it's the home run ball that had to be thrown back, or if it's being thrown out but always having another place to go. Everything I need to know about life, I learned at Fenway Park.
Gotta spend the day over at Fenway. Gonna see them hit that ball a mile high. No matter where you sit, you're in heaven for a little bit. It's gonna be a great day at Fenway. Only at Fenway. Even with a rain delay. Only at Fenway.